The sermon text comes from Psalms chapter 139, verses 13 through 18. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. This is the word of God for the people of God. All right. My message is, let me tell you about my Jesus. First of all, my name is Michelle Tice. I'm sorry. Happy New Year to all, and welcome everyone who is here, and for our online listeners as well. Anyway, so my message is, let me tell you about my Jesus. And it's going to be in a little story. But first I have a question. What is like one thing that we always seem to hear at the beginning of a new year? What? Well, that's good. I like that one. Yes, resolutions. All right, so of course, a lot of us are thinking of resolutions, how we want to start the new year out and so forth. A lot of times it's losing weight, getting in shape, eating better and so on, which is great. And being healthy, staying healthy and strong is very important. Well, this year, in December, I turned 52. My motto for this year is stronger in 22 at 52. Several years ago, my outlook in life and my health changed. I want to be as healthy and strong as I can be for my family, especially my grandkids. We all know how they keep us busy. I'm very exhausted at the end of the day. So as I was working on the message for today, I always listen to worship music. It's been a huge part of my life for quite some time. But while I was doing this, I actually was texting and messaging some of my friends from the Y. We were talking about accountability, what our goals are and stuff like that. And I just felt like a strong presence, and the Lord was saying, what about me? Sometimes when I get such things, I kind of brush them off, and I really shouldn't, because many times, I mean, it is the Lord speaking. So I just kept hearing, what about me? I started to reflect on this, and then I realized that this past year, I not only have been slacking in my health and wellness journey, but also my walk with the Lord. I started to go back to my bad habits and putting God, well, not first in my life like he should be. I know all too well just how important it is to daily to continue to strengthen our faith and relationship with Jesus. I mean, we all get busy. Life gets in the way, sometimes knocking us down one punch after another. Taking care of our bodies and our health and well-being is very important, but so is working on our spiritual wellness and our relationship with Jesus. We need to work on our hearts and keep them pure. After all, Jesus looks at the heart and not our outward appearances. As I continued to work on today's message and reflect on what the Lord has put on my heart, again, I was listening to music. A song came on called Let Me Tell You About My Jesus by Ann Wilson. Unfortunately, due to technical challenges, we could not play that song, but I really highly recommend you looking it up. As I was listening to this song, I became extremely teary-eyed, very full of compassion. As Christians, that is exactly what we are supposed to do, We are supposed to spread the gospel for all to hear, share the good news to all who we come across, or these simple words, "Let me tell you about my Jesus." That's simple, right? My hope today is that this message will in some way touch you, that you will see Jesus in a new way, and that your new year will be filled with new hope in Christ. But most importantly, I want the Lord to be pleased with my words, that I will be doing his will, not mine, that my mind is on pleasing him, not us. After all, didn't he leave the comfort of heaven, leave the Father, the only thing he knew, just to come to earth to be born a human for each of us? Such a love that he lavishes on us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the message I speak today speaks to those who need to hear it, and that my words are acceptable in your sight. Clear my mind of distractions and remove self and pride. Soften hearts so that the Holy Spirit will fall upon us today. May our hearts be warmed with compassion and set on fire for a stronger desire to work on a closer relationship with you all year long. I give you all the glory and praise, for without you, I am nothing. In Jesus' name, amen. So a little over 45 years ago, there was a very young girl, very early elementary school aged, who loved to play the organ. It was one of those easy ones that had the numbers on the keys. Most of the song books that she played from were hymns, and she would play this thing daily in the sunroom on the side of the house. In that sunroom, where most of the time was during warmer weather months, the windows were opened. She not only joyfully played these songs, but she also sang them very loudly for all to hear. She didn't care who heard her either. She was not ashamed or embarrassed. She was just praising her Jesus, but at the time, she didn't know that. She was just innocently singing songs that she loved to sing from Sunday school class. She sang it loudly and most often off key. She also loved to watch those Bible story movies on TV. She was always intrigued by them, intently listening and watching what was being said and what was happening. How many other kids her age would want to watch those kind of movies? She never thought of that. She thought it was normal. One night, her mom allowed her to stay up past her bedtime to finish watching the movie about Jesus' life. As she watched it, she quietly wept. When the part came to where they beat Jesus and nailed him to the cross, she could not hold back the quiet tears anymore, and she began to sob aloud. Her mom was very puzzled and shocked and asked her what was wrong. She looked at her mom, and through the pain, she cried out, "They are killing my Jesus." Many times, like most of us growing up, she would have dreams, sometimes vividly, sometimes extremely scary. One of the dreams that she had was skating on ice out in her backyard. The sky was very gloomy, a normal winter-like day. All of a sudden, the clouds opened up in a circle. The sun shined brightly through that opening. Next, a ladder came down, and in the dream, it frightened her, so she kept her distance from it. But yet, she didn't run because she was curious about it. And even though she seemed very scared, she still felt at peace. The next thing she saw were angels coming down that ladder. They were so large and beautiful, with big wide wings, wearing bright and shiny long white gowns. They just kept going up and down the ladder. She walked closer to them and felt such love and joy and peace. She couldn't see their faces, but knew that they loved her and seemed to be protecting her. At her young age, she truly thought that, again, that this was normal. All of her friends were experiencing the same thing. This reminds me of having childlike faith. In Mark 10:15, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like this child will not enter it at all." Matthew 19:14 says, But Jesus said, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." Childlike faith. I think I need to recapture it and keep a hold of it tightly. How about you? When this young girl was in later elementary school, maybe early middle school, her parents divorced. Her heart was shattered beyond repair, or so she thought. She began to rebel. She let go of that childlike faith, that belief and love that she had deep within her heart for Jesus. Not altogether, though, because where the seed is planted, it will grow again. For the next several years, she walked in total darkness, walking in her own wilderness like the Israelites did. Was this the path that God set out before her? She was listening to Satan's lies. Like many of us, she tried filling that void in her heart where Jesus once resided with things not of God. Drinking, smoking, promiscuity, hanging out with the wrong crowd, married at 16, divorced at 17. During this time, she had lost an infant son. Such heartache at such a young life. She turned back to God because she needed him. She really wanted to go back in time to where she was close to God. She felt so hopeless, and it seemed impossible for things to get better. She knew she had to change. She wanted to get back on the right path, but she continued to make the wrong decisions in her life. During her senior year, she was once again pregnant. December of that year, she was rushed to the hospital in labor, but 6 weeks too early. Fear gripped her, and she felt this time that this was God's punishment for all the years that she chosen not to walk in Christ. She knew her own choices led her down this path, a path in a whole different direction than when she first began, when she would sing praises to her Jesus, her lifeline. She had let go of his hand. Only when she fell hard is when she reached out to him and begged for his help. Several more years passed, she would listen to him for a short time, and then would return to her old ways, struggling every single step of the way. As you all probably guessed, the story is about me. Remember the parable that Jesus told about the prodigal son? Well, I'm definitely a prodigal child, time after time. But praise God, he was always there waiting for me to return with his loving arms open, wide, to take me back each and every time, and he still does that. About 20 years ago, I again started wanting more of God. Thanks to some pretty amazing spirit-filled people in my life, which I'm sure God put on my path, I renewed my faith, stronger and deeper than before. I once again started to dream dreams and again to praise him like I did when I was in elementary school. I'm still not perfect. I still fall short. I am still a sinner. But what is different? I immediately turn to him because I need him each and every day. Without him, I am nothing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He will always be by our side. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, "He will never leave you nor forsake you." He was faithful to me when I was not to him. Looking back at all those years of defiant behavior, I was like the Israelites, walking aimlessly in the wilderness, wanting and begging from God for relief, but not changing my ways, not being thankful or appreciative when he did give something good to me, but I was ungrateful. How thankful I am that my Heavenly Father loves me so much to look past my selfishness, my mistakes, my human nature, and look directly at my heart. He knew I longed for him, but for whatever reason, I seem to have given up on turning to him. All those dark days. He knew that someday I would return a prodigal daughter. How did he know that? because he made me. He knew what my future held. He made my path. He never left my side. He heard my quiet cries deep within. There hasn't been a future he has not yet seen or been to. He knew mine. He knows yours. He is faithful. Isaiah 25:1 says, Lord, you are my God. I will praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done wonderful things planned long ago. Let me tell you about my Jesus. You can go to him without fear of rejection. We were created to have a close personal relationship with God through Jesus. It is our responsibility to build that relationship with him. He won't push it on us. This is the difference between religion and relationship. He won't force his love upon us. We have free will. He won't make us actively follow him. We need to invite him in. All those years ago, I sometimes wish that he would have forced me to follow him. It would have saved me from so much grief and heartache. But then again, it would just all be fake. I would not have known in my heart just how faithful and true he really is, or how much I really needed him. I would have not realized I cannot do life without him. I needed to invite him in. I needed to chase after him, to willingly invest my time into getting to know him. He already knew me. He knows me. He created me. He knows my heart, and he knows each of our hearts. James 4:8 says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. We need to make that first step. Then, after we make that step, we must be connected to him daily so we can continue to spiritually be filled. We were created to be in Christ, in God's environment. A fish's environment is water, right? What it would happen if the fish jumped out of the fish tank from the safety of the water, which he was made for? He would eventually die unless someone put him back. The same is true for us. We were created by God, for God, and if we leave that environment we were made for, we will spiritually die. Christ is the conduit to God. We all have a God-shaped hole in our hearts where he belongs. You can try filling it with other things like I did, but it definitely doesn't last. Because that spot was made just for God's love. It's in our DNA. What I read for the sermon text from Psalms was that he formed us so intricately and woven everything together in our mother's womb. He made us mysteriously complex. He formed our bones. He carefully, skillfully, and lovingly shaped each of us. He thoroughly knows each of us, everything there is ever to know. He knows it. Even the hairs on our head are numbered. Obviously, God thinks we are a pretty big deal. We are woven into the tapestry of all that he created. We are reminded in Isaiah 43:1b, I have called you by name, you are mine. He provides a way. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with that temptation, he will also provide a way out, that you may be able to endure it. God does see that perfect creation he intended, but knows that we fall short. Sin is our human nature. As we go along life's journey in search of a deeper relationship in Christ, he will help us recognize our true self through scripture. We need to pick up the Bible every day and fill our hearts and minds with his holy word. If we are not fully connected to God, we will be tempted by the lies of Satan. We are weak without God and very vulnerable. That was definitely me. I walked away from him so many times, separated from being close to him. Satan knows our weaknesses. He knew mine. That's why I fell so many times. He will always, always use them to trip us up. He constantly lies to us, just like he did Eve. He made her doubt God's promises. He fed her lies by twisting God's words. Whatever we feast on, we empower. Are you feeding on Satan's lies, or are you feasting on the meal that was prepared for us in the presence of our enemies? Are you rooted in love from God's word? To me, John 15, 1 through 6 is like an eye-opening, heart-to-heart conversation with Jesus having with all of us. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that is not producing fruit. He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Death is imminent, and heaven and hell are real. It's our choice. We can know God in our head, or we can know God in our heart, which makes a difference of about 18 inches between heaven and hell. Which do you choose? My Jesus does not want anyone to perish. He doesn't want to just slap a Band-Aid on us and say, be on your way and try harder. He wants to restore us, to repair us, and to change us. Look at how he transformed Saul's life on the road to Damascus. Saul was a Pharisee, a strict religious person who was so devout to that religion that he persecuted Christians. He was persecuting Christ. He was on a bumpy road, but Jesus changed his life, and through his conversion, Saul, now Paul, was one of the best followers of Christ, and he wrote 13 books in the New Testament. And we can read them, and in each one, he always gives God the glory for everything. Paul wrote in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus." I want to go out on a limb here and say that all of you are saved and that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But then I would hear my mom's voice say, I wonder how many people sitting in churches today who have not yet been saved. And you know what? That's true. I don't know that. Only you and God knows. Just because you sit in a church pew every Sunday does not mean you're saved. With that being said, if any of you have any doubt, even the slightest bit of where you will spend eternity, the day that you draw your last breath, please consider today being the day you start to draw nearer to God by accepting his Son, the one who took our place on the cross, who died an agonizing death for you and me. Accept him into your heart today and believe he is the Son of God, and you will truly be forgiven of your sins. Amen. I was going to read some more stuff, but I'm not. This next song is actually in memory of my mom and my dad and my friend Kathy. All three of them loved flowers. All three of them loved flowers or to garden. Kathy would always post beautiful pictures of the sunset and sunrise and just things that she came across. And I love to do those things too. Each of them in their own special way has helped me stay on the journey with Christ. They are now in the presence of God, and someday I know I will be standing there with them.